My name is Brady Q. Jenkins. I'm the founder and CEO of Quintasia Studios, and this is the Quintasia Podcast. Now, for those of you who may have heard an earlier episode, you heard me make reference to the fact that the fabulous, incredible, unbelievable Miss Christine Dixon was coming back to our podcast. So today's the day. Here she is. Live and in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, Christine Dixon. And welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me back, Gregory.
Pleasure is all mine. Your audio is breaking up just a little bit, so let's see how that goes. Yeah, you are. And I think I said this to you, it was true then and still true now. One of our most popular podcast guests. Definitely good to have you back. And I know people enjoy hearing your adventures. And I know that since last we spoke, there was some. So I think where I'm going to start, which kind of makes sense in my mind, if nobody else's mind. So when COVID hit, you know, that was, of course, a very frightening thing for all of us. And, you know, the basically in-person events shut down. How did you survive during that time period? What did you do?
Well, okay, you froze. I hope you can still hear.
Yeah, you froze too. I can sort of hear you. Yeah.
Okay. So how to survive? Well, you know, at first I was afraid. I was petrified. No, but seriously, I landed in Las Vegas, March 17th, 2020, to do none of my Harriet Tubman shows. Very, very long story short. Well, long story medium. When I was in the airport, I was told, Chris, we must cancel your 9 shows because Governor Sisolak, the governor of Nevada, shut down the state due to COVID. But if you come back in 5 to 9 weeks, COVID will blow over and then things will get up and running again, honey. So I said, well, if COVID's going to blow over in 5 to 9 weeks, I'm just going to stay in Nevada. This is my first time here. I'm going to explore the state. And they said, oh, honey, you can't explore the state. There's nothing to explore. The governor shut down the state. So I said, I'll be the judge of that. Please get me a car, because when life gives me lemons, I add vodka. So they got me a car. And I didn't really realize at the time that when they said the state shut down, that included hotels, motels, and Holiday Inns, honey. I couldn't get anything. So I reached out to all the Airbnbs that I could find, and they told me if you weren't here already when the governor shut down the state, you are not welcome in our home with your new germs. And so I said, oh my goodness, maybe I should have caught that plane back to New York City. And so I said, you know what, Chris, life is an adventure. They said COVID's going to blow over in 5 to 9 weeks. It's okay. I said, but where am I going to sleep? I said, well, if I can't get an Airbnb, I'm going to do my own car B&B. So I went to Target and I bought a king size mattress foam topper. I folded it up in three. I bought 2 pillows. I don't know. I guess one for Harriet Tubman, one for me. And then I bought a comforter. And then I bought a sheet. I didn't know that the nights in the desert get pretty chilly. So I'm so happy I bought that comforter. And then I needed a washcloth. Then I needed soap. Then I needed water to bathe every day. So I would kind of hide in like certain places where the mountains were. And that's where I would take my makeshift showers, holding the jug of water over me, giving myself a makeshift shower. You didn't ask about that. Sorry. And then I just drove around. I drove around to 43 states all by myself. I had my Harriet Tubman lantern with me. And when I saw, if I passed by a school, a church, a temple, I would wait 6 feet apart with my headshot, my resume, and my Harriet Tubman lantern, and I would pitch myself to whichever parking lot I was in of whatever venue, school or anything. And that's what I did. So I basically lived out of my car by myself during COVID. Then when things began to open, I did a lot of Zoom shows for the elementary schools and the universities and the libraries. And when things began to open, and all those places, I told them, listen, you don't know me. I'm out west. I'm here by myself. I'll give you my shows for free. That way, you know, more experience for me building up my resume on the West Coast and everything. And so afterwards, when things began to open, all those venues reached out to me, because I had planted those seeds already. Right. And when they booked me in 2022, 2023, early 2024, they paid me. So I kind of, not knowing that, what was there to do? I mean, I explored Grand Canyon. I explored Valley of Death, Valley of Fire, Lake Mead, Mount Charleston, Bryce Canyon, Salt Lake City, Utah, New Mexico. You know, so I did a lot of exploring. Drove to the Whitney Plantation from West Hollywood, California. That took me 38 hours. The Whitney Plantation, the longest running plantation in the United States, you know? So that is what I did. And those are the seeds that I planted during COVID. So I don't know. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. I hope people are paying attention out there. And what I got from that was, you know, she never, even though it was COVID, she didn't stop working. She was still planting those seeds out there, because sooner or later, you know, the world opens back up, whatever dark times things are in, you know, this too will pass, and you have to keep working and planting, you know, those opportunities that will come to fruition, you know, down the line. But you'll be glad that you did those, because, you know, once they start coming, it's because that's, you lay the foundation. And I think the temptation is, when bad things happen, to want to just fall up into a ball and just hide in a corner, but that's not going to help you. It's like you have many sayings that I will, you know, that are memorable, but your latest one to me now is, when life gives you lemon, you make lemons, you make vodka, you add vodka.
I add the vodka. Yeah. You know, Greg, I don't even drink. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't club. But I figured, well, if this COVID thing is as bad as they say, we need something a little stronger than lemonade. So let's add vodka.
So, yeah. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is just, buckle up. This is going to be an adventure. You know, I have no idea where we're going today, but I know it will be fun, because it always is. Okay. So what do we explore next?
No, I was just going to say, and the thing, you know, in addition to driving around to 43 states by myself, being quarantined basically to the car by myself, learning so much about myself, I had to be really resourceful, you know, because I wasn't earning any money doing my shows, you know. So I'm grateful that in May 2019, I happened to form an LLC for my show. When COVID hit, the government reached out and said, since you're an entertainer and there's no venue for you to perform in, we're going to give you these grants. But before I got to those grants, I had $700 left. That's it. Said to my name. I didn't have anyone to ask any money for. And so I would drive through the desert. I would get out in the desert. I would walk through the desert. And then I would just, meditate. And I would just be still and listen to my breath. And that's when I discovered Florence Scovel Shinn. And then I started reading her books, you know, The Game of Life and How to Play It, The Power of the Spoken Word. And I'm like, okay, if she's saying that, you know, money flows to me right now under grace and in a perfect way, if I'm speaking out of my life and if I'm thinking those thoughts and if I'm being still, and like Neville Goddard said, get full of the feeling, like if it were true, how would you act? How would you walk? How would you speak? I'm walking through the desert, dodging scorpions and snakes. And I'm like, I have $700 to my name. I am out here by myself on the West Coast. And at this point, like the world was shut down. So I didn't know what to do. And I said, okay, if I believe that money flows to me right now under grace and in a perfect way, okay, I believe it. And I would just say, thank you. So every day, almost every day, because I would drive from state to state to state. So I would find like a really quiet patch of land and I would just go there and meditate. And I would just say, thank you for my wealth. I thank the universe for my abundance. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Jesus. Like I called on everyone. Well, there's one God, but I called on every name that I could because I was in this kind of a stressful, I didn't know what to do, where to go, what I was going to eat or anything. And then 3 days later, that's when I get the email. And then the grant came through 3 days after that. So in 6 days, I had this $10,000 grant, not a loan, a grant. And I was like, this really works. It's, I guess this is manifesting, but I'm like, wait, what did I do to manifest that money? I'm like, wait, I need to keep on doing it. And then as a little girl, my mother always said, you know, God, you know, loves a cheerful giver. So I said, okay, well, let me. So during the holidays, I would go to the Walmart in Burbank, California, or in Las Vegas, or in Missouri. And I would see a woman with children and I would just quickly, if I saw that she was going to put anything back in her cart, I quickly ran over there. I said, I got this. And I just paid so many women's, grocery bills, you know, their Christmas gifts for their children, because I felt like the universe gave me that money. So I had to pay it forward, you know. And then, but definitely having those books. And I listen to them every day. I'm still traveling all over in my car by myself, still meditating every single day since March 17th, 2020. And the great late Bob Proctor said, another way to change your life every day, write down 5 things you're grateful for, meditate for 5 minutes, and bless 3 people with love. Either people, if they've hurt you or if they didn't hurt you, just say your names. I bless you with love. And I release you in love. And so I did that every day for 2 years straight, you know, and then I get the phone call from Nike saying, oh, hey, you know, we like that you're voluptuous. We're shooting a brand new Nike commercial starring Meg Thee Stallion. And we all like your work. And I said, I don't know how you got this number, but you need to lose it. Because the harassing me, it is 12:15 in the morning. I said, I don't know what kind of a loser you are doing this, but you need to lose my number. I'm hanging up. And she's like, no, ma'am. No, we are not losers. We're really with Nike. Please don't hang up, Miss Dixon. Please don't hang up. And I said, okay, I'll entertain you for 2 more minutes. And then she said, give me your email address. We'll loop in the rest of the team from Nike. I said, oh, now you want my email address. Then you're going to ask for my social security number. Then my date of birth. I don't know who you think you are. And then I said, okay. I said, all right. Well, she's still going with the conversation. So I said, okay. So I emailed her. Not even 2 minutes later, I get the email thread with so-and-so at Nike, this person at Nike. And they're like, hi, Chris. Welcome to the Nike team. So now it's 12:38 a.m., right? Wednesday morning. We need you in L.A. by 10 a.m. to take a COVID test. I'm like, scusi? Wait, what do you mean? And so now they did say, we need your date of birth to book your flight. I said, oh, nice try. This has gone too long and too far. I'm not giving you my date of birth. And they were like, no, this is really legit. We really need you in LA. So I said, okay, well, you know what? There's a paper trail. So if I have to take them to court, that's okay. And so I gave them my date of birth. And within 15 minutes later, I get a text message and an email. Your flight, I think it was either American Airlines, I believe, your flight to LAX has been booked. And I was like, I think they are legit, you know? And so I took an Uber to Newark Airport. And when I landed, I'm walking through Newark Airport, I'm sorry, LAX with my backpack. Even though I landed in LA, I said, okay, this is a pretty big scam, but at least I didn't pay any money. They never ask for my credit card information. And so I'm walking through LAX, holding my backpack, thinking, okay, at any moment, someone's going to say, you sucker, you fell for it, Chris. And I'm like, okay, I'm just walking around. And then I take the escalator down, and there are all these men with signs and names. And one of the names said Chris Dixon. And I jumped up and down squealing, that's me, that's me, that's me. And they were like, where's your luggage? I said, it's on my back. I didn't know if this was like a human trafficking scenario. So I just bought like a little backpack. And he started laughing. He took me to my COVID test. Then they brought me back to this beautiful hotel on the Sunset Strip. Amazing. And then the next morning, the driver picked me up again, took me to set in Hollywood. I met the team. People from Nike were there. They were like, okay, these are your sneakers. This is your Nike dress. And I was like, this is really legit. And it was pretty amazing. So every time the universe would bless me with more money, I would give not 10%, like I'm tithing 10%. I would give 20% to sometimes half of what I would earn, because I would say, you know what? It's only money. And if money is spiritual, if money is a blessing, if I believe money is always with me, if I believe money loves being with me, and if I believe money has ears, and if money is energy, it's always going to flow to me freely. And the more I put it out into the world, it's always going to flow back to me, you know, as long as, you know, I'm not hurting people for it or doing anything, you know, shady with it, you know?
Well, you know, I wish, I hear that and I admire that story. I wish my relationship with money was like that. But money always knows where I'm at and it avoids me. I have to chase money. I have to chase it down. It's like, shh, wait a minute, Greg's here. Okay, let's get out of here before he sees us. I have tried. I have obviously not successfully to have that kind of relationship. I am definitely grateful, and I think it's great that, you know, you definitely have an abundance mindset. We talked about that a little bit at the when you were on the panel for the forum, and I guess I'll say I'm trying to get there. I have to get there. I have to believe that is because the things that I'm trying to do are beyond my financial capacity to do. So the only way it's ever going to get done is I have to have this the same kind of mindset that you have. And I guess I'm trying to learn how to do that. I'm trying to learn. I have not been able to, I mean, I have and I haven't. And, you know, I think about, and I try not to get caught into the cycle, I think about what I haven't achieved, but sometimes I forget to think about what I have achieved. And when I think back on what I have achieved, that's still, okay, did I achieve everything I want? No, but what I did achieve, still pretty freaking amazing. And I have to keep that mindset on. It's like, you know, the journey that you're on, it's not a failure. my goodness, you still had, accomplished a lot. And so I'm not where you are yet in terms of the mindset, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get there. Hopefully, at some point in my life, I will get there and learn to be able to manifest it. But it'll manifest, but only after it seems, after I've gone through disaster. And having gone through disaster several times, I would like to not do it again, if at all possible. But anyway, not to take us down a gloomy path. So what else could, talk about in terms of, so I guess what I'm curious now, I know that during the forum, you talked about your clothing line that you're concentrating on. And what else is that what you see yourself now kind of focusing on, or are there other things in addition to the clothing line that you're launching that you see yourself focusing on?
Definitely. So in addition to the clothing line, I'm working on a children's book, kind of about my journey as Harriet Tubman, and with, affirmations for the children. It's a children's book, of course, but of course adults can get something out of it. But my target audience is for the children, to kind of help them develop that mindset for growth, success, abundance, a healthy self-esteem, things like that. So that's, the book, the children's book, and my clothing line, and eventually my own perfume.
Okay. Now that's that's rare. If you've done your research on the perfume houses, there are not that many of them. And so that's definitely, but I think me personally, I know that there's a lot of dollars that go out in the investment world to tech companies, but I think they're missing in terms of particularly, for all women in general, but particularly for African American women, women of color, and more broadly, there's a lot of money to be made in the health and beauty space, because there's still a all the products that I see that are started by female entrepreneurs because there was a need out in the market that wasn't being addressed. And, I think that they have performed, in my humble estimation, far, better than your average tech company. And I don't know why more people aren't investing in that space. When I have some excess dollars, I know I will. I do not have to be convinced that that is a good place to be. So I wish you all the best in the world, because I know that can be a very lucrative space. And I know that you would infuse your own, your own philosophy, your own aura into that business. So I'm sure it'll be interesting to see where you take that when you launch it. So definitely keep in touch with us on that. So for living, on the road, I guess, where do you find time to write? So like you said, you want to write a children's book. Where do you find time to write?
Well, I've been writing every single day since March 17th, 2020.
Wow.
Every day. And even, going to Paris, doing my 758th and 759th shows out there. I was only supposed to be in Paris for 18 days. I didn't know I was going to be in Europe for 7 months, 29 countries later, and even being able to do that. But yeah, I write every single day and I meditate every single day.
That's impressive. That's you know, that's the kind of dedication that it takes, you know, to write something, to get through it. So I applaud you on that. And I hope people out there who are aspiring writers are taking note, you know, even though she has a very busy schedule, she's still writing every day. And I think that's so important. So I want to ask you, because we kind of covered that ground earlier in terms of, you know, I know the new movie that, and if you guys haven't seen Christine on our forum, you should check that out too. I know that you got to participate with Denzel Washington and Spike Lee in their upcoming movie. So if when filmmakers want to hire you, you don't have an agent, right?
No, I've never had an agent. I've never had a manager. I've never had a publicist. And I remember 2019, like maybe December or even January 2020, a few months before COVID. So I was in line at, it might have been the Tamron Hall show, some show in Manhattan. And I remember some actors saying, oh, everyone needs an agent and a manager to book, you know, national and international commercials. And I felt discouraged. And I said, oh, and then I said, wait a minute, Chris, she's not speaking about you. She doesn't know about your ambition, your tenacity, your journey, you know? And I'm like, the universe is my agent. The universe is my manager, you know? And so not only did I have, you know, the Nike commercial and the AT&T Cricket Wireless commercials, it's like, oh, you don't need an agent and a manager. I mean, of course, at some point, I will need them. But however, I've been navigating these waters on my own, by myself, and Gloria Estefan and Wesley Snipes and Sterling K. Brown and Quentin Tarantino told me to my face that they're proud of me and my journey and the fact that I'm doing this by myself. When I say I'm a one-woman show, I book it, I direct it, I produce it, I star in it, I'm my chauffeur, I'm hair, I'm makeup, I am crafty, I am my wardrobe mistress. I am a one-woman show. And even closing off Broadway, I even help work on the flyers. I hired someone to do my flyers, but then I, you know, did the format. I've never done that before. So when I say I'm a one-woman show, I'm a one-woman show.
You certainly are. And that, you know, again, hopefully that's going to be an inspiration to people out there. Never let anyone stop you. You know, if you decide you want to stop, that's your business. You can do that. But never let someone else, you know, put their limitations on you because they think they can't do something that doesn't extend to you in any way and doesn't have anything to do with your capabilities or your purpose and mission in life. You are your own person, and that's something that you control. So I think that's, I am not surprised at all to hear. So how do they generally get in touch with you? How do they, you know, well, we know the case with Nike. I don't know how they got your number, but, you know, they called you up. What does that usually, do they send you an email? Do they call you? Do they call somebody?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. No, I know. It's usually emails and phone calls and the lottery commercial. That one, actually, I was walking down the street in Brooklyn, Red Hook, Brooklyn, and I didn't know what they were shooting. And that's how I ended up working on that. So I trust that the universe will put me in the right place at the right time. And the universe sees that I'm serious about my career. So the right people show up at the right time. I do put work in. I don't just sit there twiddling my thumbs. Oh, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. No, I put the work in. You know, I still do my shows sometimes for free as well. And yeah, I'm constantly out there. I show up. When we show up, we go up, right? And so I constantly show up from myself and the universe. I feel that, I'm not sure when, but months ago, I don't remember which country I was in, but I felt like the universe maybe was trying to see how serious I am about my career. And I was like, is this supposed to be a roadblock for me? I just laughed and I just climbed over it. I don't remember exactly what happened, but it really felt like my career was coming to a screeching halt. I don't remember what happened, but either way, it was just, I just couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievable. It was, and I just said, you gotta come better than that, universe. You know, I'm more tenacious and ambitious, you know, and then whatever this little situation that you're trying to, you know, not have me in or have me in, you know, it didn't discourage me. It took a lot. A whole lot. I mean, look at all the work I put in over, I forgot who said it, about the 10,000 hours. If you put in 10,000 hours, you're considered a pro or a master. I calculated my hours, approximately 120,000 hours in the last 11 years. Because even when I wouldn't have a show, I would just be in a room speed racing through the show or just acting it out. I don't watch myself perform. So after someone would tape it, I still haven't seen my own show. I can't watch myself. I think my voice is so annoying. So I can't listen to myself or watch myself. And so I would just, you know, just almost every day, 2 hours a day, I would run through the show or I'd look in the mirror. And then I would say, okay, nope, do that, drop that, go into the audience at this point, at Etta James at last, at this point, you know, you have to meet people where they are. So of course I did modernize it. And the fact that it is live theater. So I feel that that's why people love it. And it's unconventional theater, you know?
Definitely. I mean, well, I am not surprised. You know, I don't know you very well, but just in, you know, the amount of time that I have known you, I've been around enough young stars or people who want to be stars to know that people underestimate the power of your personality. And, you know, that goes into when you think about what makes a person want to purchase something, you know, of yours, and that psychology that goes into making that decision. What people often discount is they do have to like you. They do need to want to root for you. And that's a major part of what spurs them on to, you know, want to purchase whatever it is that you have, whether it be a ticket to a show or a clothing line or whatever, is because they like your spirit and they want to support you. And unfortunately, that likability part is something that I see a lot of new, young, you know, up and coming stars. They tried to skip over that part. They wanted to go directly to the diva stage and, you know, be the difficult one. But that wears out quickly. And, you know, neither your coworkers or your fans will support that forever. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all as people get to know you that, you know, these doors, you know, continue to open for you. And that's one of the reasons why I like having you on the podcast is so people can hear about that and know that, hey, it is possible that, you know, your mindset does mean a lot. You know, it does. It determines a lot of your destiny. I think, you know, you're a good example of that, of how. You know, having the right mindset, doing and as you said, also putting in the work. I love that you put that in there too. It's not, as Beverly said, and that's another, so I'm just going to steal your guys' saying. So as she said, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Work hard. It's so true.
And, you know, I know a lot of talented people, but, you know, they waste it because, you know, they think that, you know, they're owed something. You know, the universe doesn't owe anybody anything, you know. And if that's the attitude that you're going to be very disappointed in life. You go out there, and another thing you said, which I can't tell you how many actors I did not hire because they weren't where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. And I can't tell you how many people who ultimately got the position. Now we'll see how history plays out for certain things, but, you know, they're going to get the opportunity because somebody just failed to show up when they were supposed to show up. All things that, you know, like you're always on time and it's so much appreciated for our chats. And I love that. And I love people who have that. And all of my guests, you're all like that. And I hope as you all grow, you all stay that way. And I'm sure there, you, of course, I'm sure, you know, more good things are in store for you. I can see that. Hopefully I will learn from your example. Like I said, not there yet, but I am trying. So, okay. Now what I'm curious about is you're on the road, you're doing your show, you're writing every day. So what does Christine do when she wants to have fun?
My life is fun. My life is a long vacation for fun. I mean, I drove to Charlotte, North Carolina yesterday. I'm driving back home to Brooklyn tonight. I drive for fun. And when I get to the state, I pitch myself. I pitch my show. I'm constantly always, can I perform here? Can I perform there? Can I inspire here? Which youth and seniors can I inspire? My life for fun, I mean, I wear my birthday tiara every day. Like, my life is fun. Every day is my birthday. Like, this is what I do. I mean, I guess treating people to lunch, I love doing that. To me, that's so much fun. Picking up the tab, I truly enjoy picking up the tab for people. What do I do for fun? I drove to Canada on Sunday. I like diving to different states and different countries. I drove to Mexico for fun from New York. You know, I went across the country, then into, you know, Vegas, Cali, south to San Diego. What do I do for fun?
Sounds like life.
Life is fun. Yeah, I don't know. I set my life up in a way where I never need to take a vacation from it. I set my life up in a way where every single thing I do is fun. I set my life up in a way where the people that are in my circle, my tribe, which affects my vibe, those are my people. They love me. They respect me. I love them. There's that reciprocity there, you know, because our, you know, what is it? You're the average of the five people you hang around, right? And our attitude affects our altitude, right? So yes. I'm always around people who love me for me, my quirks and all, you know. I love driving by myself. I love being alone as well. I love my company so much. Like, I'm tickled to death that I'm me. I really am. So I go to dinner all the time by myself. I leave the country by myself. I go on cruises by myself. I'm so much fun. You know, it's just Harriet Tubman and I. But I guess for fun, yeah, breaking bread over a delicious meal with people I love and picking up the tab. That's so much fun. And I don't know. I love seeing people happy. I love eating over good food and just talking about life and sharing stories. And all my friends, everyone in my circle is over 60 years young. Everyone. you know? And it's just, I like learning from people, you know? Was it a smart man learns from his mistakes, a wise man learns from all his mistakes, right? So I listen to the stories of these seasoned, mature people, and they teach me things as well. And when I'm not on set, I'm with them, and I'm just Chris. I'm not Harriet Tubman. We don't discuss show business. It's a business. Like, I've never been a diva. I'm not going to start. There's no reason to be. There's nothing glamorous about a plantation anyway, you know? And so just being with the people I love, them accepting me for who I am. And if they ask me, Chris, have you been up to? Then I'll speak about show business. But other than that, no, I'm just a girl sitting in front of people, asking them to love her for her, in the words of Julia Roberts, not in hell, you know? But yeah, I love what I do. When you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
It is
you
true.
You know, and I also read for fun, you know, reading autobiographies, and that's what I love. And the stories of people who kind of, they have their own path, but they have their own trials, their own tribulations, how they overcame it. Because like I said before on the panel, success leaves clues. Success is a system. Right? There's so many clues. So learning from other people, watching people, learning their stories. Every week I'm learning someone else's story and whatever trial and tribulation that pushed them into their journey, into wherever they are now. So that's, yeah. I don't even know if I answered your question, but
You did. You are dropping some pearls of wisdom today. Another quotable line that I think, I set my life up so that I don't need to take a vacation from it.
Vacation from, yeah, you know.
Now, I hope people really think about that one. That one really hit me. I set my life up so that I don't need to feel like I need to take a vacation from it. That's a powerful way to live. And, you know, that's why I like talking with you. It's people who have that kind of spirit, I guess, that we admire that. I have not been able to uncomplicate my life to the point where I can quite make that claim, but I'm working towards it. And maybe that's what the universe is trying to tell me, you know, it's just trying to show me an example of, hey, you know, here's a person who's doing it. It's possible. And I know I'm not getting any younger. So I want to get to a point where, and don't take this as a complaint, anyone, but I want to have joy in my life. And I love what I'm doing. I love the reason why I'm doing it. But I don't always enjoy the doing of it. And that I need to fix, because this is a long journey. Life is a marathon, folks. It's not a sprint.
Yes.
And you know, so you might as well enjoy the journey. And that's, you know, one of the things that But getting out and, you know, having that circle, that tribe vibe with your tribe. There goes another one. So I'm telling you, there's going to be like a long list of quotables, notable quotables from Christine that came out of this episode. But it's true. And I've said the same thing in other ways. But, yeah, you got to find your tribe. That group of people that know you for you and accept you for you, that encourage you to go be your best self. You know, never hang around people that bring out the worst instincts of yourself. That's not, you know, positive for you, the direction you want your life to go in. And at the end of the day, that's the beautiful. One of the things I said on a different podcast, but it's worth repeating so people get this concept. When I was doing volunteer work at Unlocking Futures, one of the lessons that they would teach the children was Do you want to be a thermometer or do you want to be a thermostat? The difference being is a thermometer just tells you what the temperature is, has no control. It's either too hot or it's too cold, but that's all a thermometer can tell you. Now, a thermostat, if you're feeling that it's too hot, you can lower the temperature. If you're too cold, you can raise the temperature. Thermostat has power. A thermostat can change the environment. So that's what people need to ask themselves. Are you a thermometer? Do you just want to complain and say, yep, things are bad. They are really, really bad. Well, we can see that. But that doesn't give you any power. You've ceded your power to something external to you. Or do you want to be a thermostat? You know what? I'm not having fun right now. And I deserve to have fun. So let me make some changes so that I'm now having more fun. I think that's a better way to live. You know, that's my philosophy. I'm not perfect at it, but complaining about stuff will not change a thing. And I think it's a lot easier to stay stuck and stay complaining than it is to do the work to try to change it. But there's no power in complaining, but there's power in change.
Definitely. And one thing I love to say, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, Greg, is when we complain, we remain, right? Mm-hmm. And even Dr. Maya Angelou said, when someone is complaining, you're like, there goes, that's one of the weakest links. Like, never be heard complaining to yourself or even other people. When we complain, we remain. And what we feel, we can heal. If we can feel it, we can heal it. You know, but yes, I do my best to, I just say, thank you. Even if I stub my toe at night on the side of the couch and you're like, oh my gosh, and you're in so much pain. I'm like, nope, thank you. I'm grateful I have toes to even feel my toes, you know? So I just try to, you know, kind of see, you know, try to look at the bright side and in most things, you know?
Yes. Yes. And does it make a difference? I can definitely attest to that. So, all right, you'll be coming back up this way. Do you have any travel plans beyond coming back to the New York area? Are you planning on going anywhere else anytime soon?
Like in the state or come, you know, I'm driving back to Ann Arbor, Michigan next week. I'm driving back to Canada next week. Going back to Niagara Falls next week after I'm going to, by the University of Michigan, drive up to Windsor, Canada. And then from Windsor, Canada, drive 4 hours and approximately 43 minutes to Niagara Falls. Because, you know, that's the Midwest, Ann Arbor. So then drive to the East Coast of Canada, where Niagara Falls is, north of Buffalo. And then from there, go back home to Brooklyn. Then from there, back to Charlotte, North Carolina. Drive all this by car by myself. So that's my national plans. And then either July or August, back to Paris to do another show. And then from there, I'm not going to do Turkey. Well, I might do Cappadocia, Turkey. They're world renowned for, you know, their hot air balloons. People from around the world go to Cappadocia and Turkey for the hot air balloons, you know? What else? And then, of course, Kyoto, Japan, Osaka, Japan. And I'm invited to Australia. Just living life like it's golden, you know? I can't sit still, but Harriet Tubman couldn't sit still either. Harriet Tubman was homeless for approximately 40 years, you know?
Well, I definitely, I wish you, all I can say is I wish you continued joy. I wish you continue to meet loving, giving souls on your journey, get your full measure from this world. I think everyone should be trying to do that. You seem to be navigating that very well. And I hope that, you know, I hope and I know that doors will continue to open up for you. And, you know, I see more great things ahead of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Greg. No problem. The same for you as well, my dear.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to, you know, keep plugging away. And but you know, I get to meet people like you guys and you all inspire me. So I thank you for stopping by once again and, you know, taking the time to talk with me. And I thank everybody out there for watching and or listening to this podcast. You have been listening to the Quintasia podcast, and our guest today is the amazing Christine Dixon. And I hope you took something from this episode. You know, we will keep in touch. We'll find out what's next, what new adventures will be in your life. And again, we wish you well. So thank you everyone for taking the time to be with us. Bye-bye for now. And I'll see you later.
Thank you.